A warning. This podcast contains adult language, accounts of sexual abuse, suicidal thoughts, and other deeply sensitive material. Please use discretion. My friend Richard is not like other people. Or at least, that's what everybody says.
This young pastor, he looks completely normal.
But for a 5-foot-nothing guy, he's really larger than life.
In some ways, they're right. Richard is not normal. He is, after all, a man who decided to plant a church.
It's a gospel command. Go, find, bring.
Or, allow me to clarify. He's a man with terminal stage 4 Burkitt's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma who decided to plant a church.
Yeah, he said. If God called me to plant a church and God knew that I was going to get cancer, then God must want me to plant a church with cancer.
Conventional wisdom might say those are two things that should never go together. But the best kind of wisdom is not always the conventional kind.
So I am depressed and I'm sad and I hurt, but our circumstance doesn't change our calling.
Maybe stubbornness should be a spiritual gift. And maybe there could be, or should be, a little bit of Richard in all of us.
We are all terminal. I mean, Richard may not be here forever, but none of us will be.
So then, that is what this story is about. It's a story about a man and his monsters, not just cancer, but abuse and guilt and shame. It's a story about a man and his church that did the most counterintuitive thing they could think of. And it's a story about a man in a place where now the featured attraction is something much bigger and better than just a dying church planter.
From death to life. Amen.
Is there any good that can come out of this?
Do you see this church?
From Send Network, this is Terminal, the Dying Church Planter. Episode 1, The Craziest Thing. They are called vital statistics because they are, well, vital. And that being the case, vital statistics seem as good a place as any to start. Richard Kenneth Pope was born in Newark, Delaware, on March 31st, 1997. He is 5 feet 10 inches tall, he has blonde hair, blue eyes, and he weighs about 240 pounds.
Wow, don't put that in the podcast.
But that part, I don't think I was supposed to tell you. Richard is a sneakerhead. He's passionate about the Milwaukee Bucks, mango shrimp tacos, and very specific flavors of ice cream.
Not Oreo. I want cookies and cream, because there's a difference, I feel
there
like.
There is a big difference.
Thank you.
He will make a joke about anything. And by anything, I mean anything.
Hell yeah. I mean, heaven, yes. I say that way too often to be a pastor, man. I think I'm in the wrong field. I think I should be like a truck driver.
Richard Pope has a wife named Peyton and a dog named Mirsha. He adores them both. He pastors Canvas Church in Salisbury, Maryland, and he's dying. But perhaps the most vital of all statistics related to Richard Kenneth Pope, at least as far as it concerns me, is this. Richard is my friend. My name is Tony Hudson. I first met Richard in March of 2022 when I was assigned the task of telling his story. And that is a heavy responsibility, because this is a heavy story.
Are we starting now? Is this like happening now?
It's happening now.
I'm so nervous. But I actually just talked about this with my pastor. He said, God is giving you a platform and a story. But it's his platform, his story. You're his creation. You're his blood-bought son. Your job is to steward it. So I just want to steward it well.
This story, if told in its most simple and uncomplicated form, is powerful. And yet simple and uncomplicated are not the first descriptors that come to mind when I or anyone else think of Richard Kenneth Pope.
So describe Richard to me.
Oh, man. He is, the very first word I think that would come to my mind is, spunky.
The first time we met, man, he was so excited. There was just so much energy. Like a puppy.
The man's always running, and, it's not like he's hiding the fact that he's sick. But he shakes it.
Ask Richard to describe himself, and sick is not his first adjective of choice. And yet sick points to the story everyone wants to hear. Richard Pope has Burkitt's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 4. Or, simply put, Richard is terminally ill.
They initially told me 2 to 4 years. Who knows? So I am depressed, and I'm sad, and I hurt. Completely honestly, is that okay to say? But I just deal with it. And here's the thing, Tony. I don't want to only talk about my cancer. I don't want to be cancer boy. I wish people would ask me more about other parts of my life. All I get is, how are you feeling? Like, I'm actually a person. But I'm not scared of talking about the cancer anymore. Cancer might kill me. But when I die, so does all my sin, all my shame, all my pain that was paid for on the cross of Christ. And then I'm resurrected as Christ was resurrected in a beautiful, glorious body. Yeah, so I'm going to be raised up in new life with God, but I have to die first. So dying's, in a way, a healthy thing. And that's really weird. And it doesn't fit my sensibilities. But neither does the idea of a God framing himself in mortality to die for me. So I really don't think I should start picking which crazy things I'm okay with.
Talking to Richard means talking about lots of crazy things, which brings us to this.
Man. I debated with Peyton what parts of the story to tell or not. My wife's so much wiser than me. She said, when you tell the story, you have power over it. So stop me if you need to. But yeah, it's like you said, it's a long, there's a lot there even before you get to the cancer.
If someone were to ever write a biography of Richard Pope, the word cancer would not appear anywhere in chapter 1, or probably chapters 2 or 3. But cancer is what everyone asks Richard about. And cancer is the one thing Richard and I have in common. On November 11th, 1998, a doctor told me I had cancer. That diagnosis was followed by 8 months of chemotherapy, 2 months of radiation, and 20-plus years of anxiety. And no, my cancer was apparently not terminal. But I've always believed there's no such thing as a purely random coincidence. Not knowing my health history, someone handed me Richard's story and said, tell it. And so even though, as you will later discover, it's not the most natural place to start, with Richard's cancer, we begin. The thing about a cancer diagnosis is, it almost never comes suddenly. Especially when that diagnosis is terminal. A terminal cancer diagnosis is, more often than not, a long, slow, irregular drip of aches and pains and symptoms and appointments and needles and blood tests and scans and procedures and IVs and examining rooms. The long, slow drip for Richard began in 2016.
So I was 19, and I hadn't been feeling well. So I went to a doctor, and the doctor, he said, "Hey, you have cancer. Here's what I'm going to do." And I was like, okay. So I didn't freak out the first time because he didn't freak out. Does that make sense? Like, I was fine. I was just like, I have cancer. I mean, I don't know, like that. It was just very, like, it was like a low-grade testicular cancer. It wasn't anything bad. You know what I mean? On the rate of cancer is bad, but on the scale of cancers, testicular cancer in a 18, 19-year-old guy is like, huh. But the second time was different. So I'm getting scans, regularly checkups, right? Life's going like normal. The second time was very, 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 very different. This would be May of 2019. And the doctor came in and he kind of leaned against like the sink cabinets and he says, "Cancer's back. And I'm sorry, it's not good." And I'm like, huh. And because he was not as like, "You have cancer, you'll be fine," I was like terrified. Yeah, he just told me, he's like, "Hey, we're gonna do treatment." And that chemo did not work out for me. I was sick, my man. I mean, I was sick. And that time I actually lost my hair. I had no eyebrows. It was so funny looking. I would sometimes take like markers, like a pink marker, and draw pink eyebrows on my, just to be funny, man. I'm a clown. I'm a class clown, right? And yeah, but even then, it went away and I was okay. And that was November of 2020. Hey, you're cancer-free, bro.
One time, two times, and then three times. The cancer came, the cancer left, and the cancer came back. And each time was harder than the last.
Literally 9 months later, the cancer's back. I'd have a procedure done because it had spread into my lymphatic system. And, you know, they remove some lymph nodes and they do post-op scans like a couple weeks later. When I did the post-op scans, I got a call from the doctor the same day. "We need you to come back right now." And I was told the cancer had spread everywhere. I mean, everywhere is always, I guess, an exaggeration, but pretty much, I mean, everywhere. And I was like, "Oh, okay, what are we cutting out next, doc?" You know what I mean? I was like 22 and like making jokes. And he's like, "We can't cut out everything." That's what he said to me. "We can't cut out everything." And he's like, "Do you pray?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" Like, and that's when it hit me. Something wasn't right. So then when they told me it was terminal, all of a sudden I am so weak and frail and broken. And that's one of the things about when people share my story. So often people just paint this picture of like, I'm not scared. I was terrified. I still am. Like, can I tell you a thought that I have constantly? Does dying hurt? How much pain am I going to be in? Will my faith hold out till the end? Am I going to want to see Jesus, or am I just going to want to not be in pain? Like, those are questions I have.
There is no good time to receive a terminal cancer diagnosis. But February of 2021 might have been the worst of times for Richard Pope. That's because Richard is a church planter. And in February of 2021, after 2 years of gathering and meeting and planning and practicing, Richard and his wife and his friends were just days away from launching a new church.
January of 2019 was our first meeting as a initial team.
This is Richard's wife, Peyton.
And then we just kept meeting. So then from there, January 2021, we started doing practice services. So we started meeting on Sundays consistently. And so we practiced what worship was going to be like. We renovated this building. We just did everything we needed to prepare so that when we launched on Easter of 2021, everything was ready for that launch day.
There are, unfortunately, some things no one can prepare for. Richard's terminal diagnosis came exactly 1 month before his church's launch date.
So, this is where it gets crazy. We're planning a church. I was too busy, right? I was too busy to be anything but fine.
And so, after being told he was not fine, Richard Pope decided to do the craziest, most unpastor-like thing of all. He lied.
What had happened was the doctors had told him that it was spreading, so they did a surgery. And at his checkup to see if they had gotten everything, he told me that the doctors said everything was clear and that they were just going to resume treatment as normal, which was almost the truth. But he was acting very, very weird. And we were...
How so?
He was just... Something just wasn't right, and I don't really know how to describe it other than just knowing him.
When they told me it was terminal, I think I just refused to deal with it. So, I didn't tell Peyton. Didn't tell anybody. How'd your scans go, baby? Oh, they went really well, baby. Everything's good. I probably, for the first time in a long time, like, just tucked that monster back under my bed, and I did not look it in the face. And I just pretended it didn't exist.
Richard Pope decided the best way to do battle with a monster called Terminal would be keep it a secret. It was a curious plan of attack, not just because someone would surely eventually find out, but because Richard should have known better. After all, he'd been wrestling monsters for as long as he could remember.
Richard Pope, little kid.
Yeah.
Who is Richard Pope, the little kid?
This is not a softball question. Dang, man. Done with the softball questions.
On the next episode of Terminal, the Dying Church Planter, allow me to introduce you to Richard's monsters.
That's a huge part of the young Richard story, I think.
All of the big scary monsters that, for better and for worse, dragged young Richard to places no one, young or old, should ever have to go.
I tell this story all the time. It just feels weird just telling it and not know the people who are going to see it. It's like, what are they going to think of me?
Think what you will. But to understand Richard, it's important to meet his monsters.
I just want to be faithful to tell the story, man. And that's what I'm trying to do.
It's important because this is not a story about how to die. It's a story about how to live. That's coming up on episode 2 of Terminal, The Dying Church Planter. You can find photos, videos, and other bonus material. And you can learn more about church planting with Send Network at terminalchurchplanter.com.